face shall see. My peace I leave with you. Amen.
Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text is a portion of the epistle from Romans 12. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, did you notice in the text it said, in view of God's mercy? Yes, in view of God's Son, Jesus the Christ, in whom you believe for salvation, in view of his giving his divine life into sacrificial bloody death on the cross, in view of his dying for you, in view of Jesus giving you total and complete forgiveness that then leads to the benefits of eternal life and the resurrection of the body, in view of God's mercying you in Christ Jesus, the Lord has good use for you. Yes, that's right. The Lord Jesus has good use for you. To be his instrument in your family, in your community, in this congregation, and the world for good. You as a Christian, you want that, don't you? Of course you do. Now, I sure hope that you're listening carefully today, because what Romans 12 preaches today will absolutely blow your mind. No, it will, as it says in the text, transform and renew your mind. Triple bonus round. It will even melt your heart, repent you, and faith you, spur you on for Christian living. I mean, you can't get any better than that today, can you? Can't. Well, Romans 12 speaks of an entirely new way of living. A life that flows from faith in Jesus, your Redeemer. The life that is lived in and from your baptism into Christ. And that's why Paul in Romans 6, verse 4, speaks of your baptismal life as walking in newness of life. So, Romans 12 tells of how you, the redeemed, the Good Friday, are given to live in and from your baptism into Jesus. Now, the front porch of my sermon is getting way too long, and so I'd better get you through the door and into the house. So here we go. All right, if you could give a one-word summary of what a Holy Spirit-filled Christian life is all about, what word would you use to best describe it? Prayer, mission, praise, witness, stewardship, love. Well, all those are good, and they are in fact biblical. However, the blessed apostle has another word in mind today. What word is it? What word from Romans 12 best describes your Christian life? Are you ready to hear it? Are you? Good. So you'd better buckle up tight, hang on to your hat. Here goes. The word is sacrifice. Yes, sacrifice. Living your life as a sacrifice, that is to say, sacrificially. That flows from faith in Jesus. Faith gives birth to sacrificial living. This is the good use that the Lord has for you on this earth. The text says very clearly, offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. You'd better hear that again. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, this is not a sacrifice that atones for sin. Good grief, you can't do that. Only Jesus did with his Good Friday, divine and dead body on the cross. But you are to use your body like Jesus, not to be served, but to serve. And so offer your body, present your body to God in sacrificial service to other people. Vivaciously live and generously give your life for others, just as Jesus did with his body. You know that Jesus didn't live in the body for himself. He lived and he died in the body for you, the sinner. His was the perfect sacrifice, the supreme sacrifice. His is the once for all Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world sacrifice. Jesus was God the Father's sacrifice, the whole burnt offering, holy and pleasing and perfect, roasted on the altar of the cross in the red hot fire of God's wrath against all of your idolatry and your rebellion. And yet, his Good Friday death is God's burning desire to rescue you from the everlasting fires of hell. So, in view of that divine, Good Friday Mercy, the text says, offer your bodies to God as a living sacrifice. In view of Jesus' death for you, brothers and sisters, you now want to live for the sake of others, not yourself. For your neighbor's sake. Yes, for your neighbor's sake, you descend into the depths and the dregs of ordinary life in order to help those in need. You want to use your body to benefit other people, to be a little Christ in your body, to serve the neighbor. This includes self-denial, self-abasement, self-renunciation, or to put it more starkly, dying to your sin. Daily putting your old selfish and idolatrous sinful nature to death. And that's really quite radical, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Do you remember what the Bible teaches about who you are? The last time I preached this was when Cohen Hurdle was baptized. 1 Peter 2, verses 5 and 9 taught us that all the baptized are members of the holy and royal priesthood. I repeat, in the New Testament, all the baptized are priests. That's you. You, baptized priests, offer spiritual sacrifices to God. 1 Peter 2, that is what you do. Now, how do you do that? Well, Romans 12 says, with your body, with your life in the body, offering your body as a living sacrifice. And this is the new way of worship in the New Testament. And it begins first and foremost here at Trinity when we gather as a congregation to attend the divine service regularly. Here on Sunday, you offer your body to God primarily by doing what? Parking it in the pew. Opening your ears and mouth in order to be given to be blessed by God's triune name, cleansed by the absolution and the proclamation of the gospel, and then fed with the Lord's most holy body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. The Lord Jesus serves you in the divine service, and his gifts, they have their way with you. They enliven you, in fact, for service to be a little Christ in the places where you live. Brothers and sisters, there can be no holy and acceptable offering of your body to God apart from Jesus, who graces you in his forgiving word, who gives you the new birth in holy baptism, and who speaks you holy, and therefore makes your body holy, acceptable and pleasing to God through Jesus Christ, through his word. Now, as you look at the text from Romans 12 today, St. Paul doesn't give a long laundry list of things that you do with your body. He lists being wise, being humble, serving others, esteeming others more highly than yourself, and later in the chapter, persisting in prayer and having patience, etc. Now, let me be so bold to offer some more concrete examples of how you offer your body to God as a living sacrifice. Ready for it? Here we go. When you confess your sin, when you turn from it and then trust in Jesus for forgiveness, you offer your body as a living sacrifice. When you as a young person promise to remain a virgin before holy marriage, you offer your body as a living sacrifice. The husband and the wife who remain faithful to their marriage vows offer their bodies as living sacrifices. The mother whose body goes through all kinds of contortions and stretches and convulsions to give room for her baby to grow and to be born offers her body as a living sacrifice. The business operator or the business owner who operates a fair and honest company even to the point of losing customers and perhaps even lots of money rather than compromising the confession of Christ offers his body as a living sacrifice. Parents who bring their children for holy baptism and raise them as Christians offer their bodies as living sacrifices. School teachers, good grief, school teachers who patiently work with children day in and day out. Employees who do their work honestly. Authorities who govern justly. Farmers who raise their crops. Cattlemen who breed cows. Giving food to the hungry. Doing the ice bucket challenge. Raising money for cancer research. And then how about this one? The person who forgives not only a family member or church member, but also the enemy who has sinned against them. These are living sacrifices of our bodies that are holy and acceptable to God through faith in Jesus Christ. There are those who sing among us. There are those who sew among us. Mow, paint, hammer, who rock babies, who fold the bulletins, who count the money, who balance the books, who write the checks. Those among us who pray for others. Those who comfort the sick, the hospitalized, and the dying. Who visit the lonely and the shut-ins. A father who changes his baby's diaper. A mother who consoles her child. A parent who teaches the Bible stories and the catechism to the children. The child obeying and honoring his parents, a neighbor helping a neighbor. The world doesn't applaud such things all the time, and many times we even forget to say thank you for such things being done. Recognized or not, all the things that I've just listed are living sacrifices. They are your spiritual worship, done in the body, holy and acceptable, because they are done through faith in Christ Jesus. Now, brothers and sisters, I wish I could preach everything in the text today, and if I did, we'd be here way too long and you'd be walking out the door. So what I want to do is mention one last thing. God's mercy in Jesus gives you a new way of working together in the church. Listen again to what the text says. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Whoa. We belong to each other as Christians in this congregation. Now, doesn't that just renew and transform your minds? It should, after all. We are all natural-born what? Soloists. Our old Adam and Eves want to do whatever they want. We want to toot our own horns. We want to march to the beat of our own internal drums. And we'd better repent of that ASAP. We all need to learn the art of playing in God's orchestra and drop the solo act. Each of you has a part to play in the church. Some play a longer and more complex part, others a simpler and more straightforward line. There are different gifts of grace, but there's the same God who gives them all. And no one, I repeat, no one should dare say that he or she has no part in this symphony called Trinity Lutheran Congregation. It is the Lord who orchestrates it. He assigns the parts, and he gives out the gifts unique to each believer. Now, the value of a gift, the value of a gift that God has given you is what? In the exercising of it, not merely the possession of it, or hoarding it for yourself. The musician who plays for no one but himself benefits no one but himself. The wealthy person who accumulates his riches for himself serves only himself. The pastor who preaches only to himself serves only himself. The gifts that God gives each of you, brothers and sisters, are to be used for the sake of others. Now, what gifts has God given you? Well, whatever they are, press them into service for the whole body of Christ, not for yourself. You are to give your gifts, the gifts that God has given you, you're to give them away recklessly and abundantly, just as Jesus did with his sacrificial Good Friday death on the cross. So if you prophesy and preach, it will be because you've heard the good news that your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, and therefore you can't keep silent about it. If you teach, it will be because you have been taught by God with minds renewed by Jesus Christ and hearts that are refreshed by his Spirit. If you comfort others, it will be because you've been comforted with God's comfort. If you give your money, it will be generously and freely because you've been given to generously and freely in Christ. If you lead, it will be because you have been led by Jesus, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. If you reach out to help the poor and the hungry, it will be because God has reached out to you in your poverty, and he has filled your hunger with the good things of mercy in Jesus Christ. So in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices to God for the sake of your neighbor. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.